It's time for the Picture House Podcast with your hosts, Sam and Simon. Please ensure that your mobile phone is switched off, refrain from smoking, and keep conversation to a minimum. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show!
Thank you so much for talking to us today, Aaron.
Yeah, a pleasure.
How are you finding the UK? Have you been to town?
I've only been here for a couple of days, and I'm really loving talking to people about the movie. So,
in terms of the many jobs that you have to do as director, is getting out there and talking to the audience, you know, up there as your one of your favorites?
It's actually one of the easier ones. Mm. You know, I think until the film, from the point in which you have an idea about a film, until you financed it, shot it, edited it, and then sold it, you have a lot of weight on your shoulders, and a lot of people looking to you for something, and a lot of responsibility. So I think this part is much easier.
Absolutely.
I can't do anything wrong.
No, that's true. Also, like you, it's all about you at this point.
Yeah,
know?
Exactly.
Like, people aren't coming. Like, you know, which is great. I think
it is focused on me and the work that I've done. But it's also nice to talk to people about movies and cinema and culture and things like that, which I hope the film brings up.
And I think this is a good film to have that post-film conversation about.
Yeah, well, I think you know, I when I was young, I was 19 years old, and I applied to film school, and I didn't get accepted, and in a way, it was this wonderful gift because I ended up having to just start on my own as an artist, and I had spent 3 months in Paris in 1986. During that time, I didn't speak French, but I ended up going to the movies every day, many times. So I saw 197 movies in 3 months. And really, my education as a filmmaker is from watching movies. So this film, you know, we're sitting in the shadow of a Kes poster right
yes.
over there. And like very few films have meant more to me and I've learned as much from as that film. And somehow, you know, I hope that my films sort of convey a love of cinema as well as an interest in life.
Absolutely. So you're. Do you still get time with the work you're doing to go to the cinemas, you know, as much as you used to?
Well, I have a whole new justification, which is I am the father. My husband and I have 2 4-year-old twins, and we live in New York City, where there are actually now quite a few good rep houses. So we go pretty much every week to see the films. They just this weekend went to see. This is a good idea for Picture House. They went this weekend to see The Red Balloon in a theater. They did something called Balloonorama. So at the end of the film, they released 500 red balloons into the theater.
That's amazing.
Which is a great idea for kids, right?
Absolutely. I do quite like those sort of extras that you can add to a screening to maybe, you know, bring out the world of the film.
Like yeah.
We just did the Gene Wilder, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory with a scratch car, with a Scratch and Sniff.
Mm.
So when you go in the Chocolate River, there's a scratch number 5. When they go into this room.
Oh, can I have one of those?
I've got loads on me now.
Because we just went to see it in New York, but we didn't have Scratch and Sniff. So I feel like I want to give my kids some Scratch and Sniff.
Demand it of your local theater.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do think most films could be enhanced with something like that, a scratch and sniff thing.
Yeah.
With Little Men, how long, you're now at the sort of the end of the process, how long has this film been with you, been an idea you've wanted to, you know, to realize as a movie?
From the kind of middle of 2014 is when I first started working and spending time with my co-writer, Mauricio Zacharias. We were releasing Love is Strange at the time, and we began work on this film. We had an idea that was based on 2 films by Ozu. The first is called I Was Born But, and the other was called Good Morning, and they're both films about kids who go on strike against their parents. So we had that idea as a plot, and we kind of began from there. We shot in the summer of 2015, and we edited in the fall, and it premiered in January at Sundance of 2016.
That sounds like an incredible turnaround time.
Yeah, it's all been, I mean, when I was with these young actors and Greg Kinnear and Jennifer Ely this past July in New York, August, when the film opened, we realized we were still shooting a year before in the same city, and that was very exciting to think we had made something.
How long was the shoot for?
24-25 days, which is sort of the general length of my shoots. But now that I'm 50, it was the first time I felt like I could have really enjoyed. I don't know if I needed, but I would have enjoyed 4 or 5 more days.
Maybe next time.
Maybe next time. But, you know, I'm not, it's like, that implies it's all about economics. And clearly the film addresses that, is that life can't be separated from economics and neither can film production. In many ways, I think of the store in Little Men as a metaphor for the field we're in, which is that it doesn't work completely economically, but it could still have value. Mm-hmm. And the question is, can we preserve it?
Yeah, No, absolutely. I think there's definitely enough fans of cinema out there who, you know, could come and support this, and hopefully will come and support this.
Yeah.
So we can have more stores and more movies like Little.
Yeah, Man. Yeah. I mean, I think what's been nice is that the film has been well received, and I think people seem to be moved by it, which is the thing that you obviously hope.
I think with one of the reasons I felt so moved by it is just, you know, you just think about your own childhood and your own friendships between the two young actors in the film. Is that something that you sort of trawled back?
Certainly. I saw this film actually with my best friend from that age, who was kind of a model for the story of the film, and we saw it in this past spring. We watched Little Men together at the age of 50, and there was something very melancholy about that thinking about that time. It was also last night. I was in Brighton at one of the Picture House theaters, the Duke of York,
yeah.
And a woman came up to me afterwards, and she told me how much the film made her think about being a mother, and her memories of her own children, and that was very poignant to me.
Yeah, I think those touchstones, like in different people's life, you know, is one of the reasons why, you know, people will come out of this film talking about it, and I think why people will be moved by the film.
Yeah, yeah.
As well, I think the film gives you just enough to, delve into your own memory.
Yeah, well, I think I try to tell stories that are very specific. I'm from New York City. This film is set in Brooklyn for the most part. I try to get the details right. And my general feeling is with literature and film in general is when artists do that, then is when it's only then when the film starts to really resonate. But you want to begin with a place where there's specificity. So if you're writing about England in 1880, then you want to get the details right. If you're writing about Brooklyn in 2015, you want to get the details right.
I was just so won over by the two young actors in the film. I thought their performances were incredible. And I really love those scenes where it's just the two of them together and the camera is sort of at their eye line.
Right.
And, you know, like they are... They're like the grown-ups in the scene.
Yeah.
They've got this great relationship as well. How much of that, you know, was there before you started shooting? Did you work on the relationships?
You know, I don't rehearse before I start shooting. I don't rehearse the kids or my adult actors, but I do set up situations where they're able to spend time with each other. It sounds kind of like gimmicky because it's not big. I don't, you know, they're not going to spend a month together, but Michael Barbieri and Theo Taplitz, who play the two boys, spent an afternoon in New York. They went out to a movie, they went skating, they talked about their favorite bands. You know, they shared something. So when they got on set, they were already familiar with each other. But I think really their ease, which was authentic, and they really did become friends over the summer, reflects something that is true about kids. And I think this is in the film as well, is that kids are able to cross difference in a way that older people are not. Like, I always think that, like, for if you're a little bit older, it seems to take, you need to take ecstasy to become really like. But when your kid, ecstasy is in your own life, and there's an ability to kind of get intimate. I watch my kids like run into a room with them, within an hour they have new best friends, and that's something that adults can't do as well.
No, you're absolutely true. I think the scene I think the first time they meet, Tony's playing a video game.
Yeah.
Want to play?
Yeah.
Sure. You know, like, there you go. That's enough.
Yeah.
Let's be best friends.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's something about that immediacy. And cinematically, there's a lot of movement in the children's scenes. The camera moves, the kids move, and that's an energy, I think, that really is important in the film.
You also captured people. I mean, I'm a big video gamer myself, but like just how people are when they're playing video games. I think when Jennifer Ely is trying to show off the dress,
yes,
it's great when just looking at the computer.
Yes, the distraction. I get it every day for my kids. They're not watching video games, but they're watching some cartoon that they would rather me not give them a kiss in the middle while they're watching it.
Speaking of movement and the young performers in the film, there's a lot of time spent on rollerblades.
Yeah.
That looks absolutely terrifying. Is that something that the actor who played Jake could do?
He's a very physical kid. He can do karate. I think he's black belt.
Wow.
And he's a gymnast. He's a very athletic kid. He's also a very sensitive artist kid, so he's an interesting combination. Both those kids were fearless in a way that I am not. There's a lot of skating in the film, and we would end up just skating around one block in Brooklyn over and over with a van with the door open on the side, and the camera would be in the van, and we would catch what we could.
It's so kinetic as well. I think you have like maybe a long lens on there. It just looks like he's going so fast.
Yeah, yeah. It's very kinetic. I work with a British composer, Dickon Hinchliffe, who was from a band called Tendersticks, and he and I have done three films together. And when we got the music, the score that he wrote for this film, which is available online and is a beautiful score, I extended the images of the kids because it was such cinematic pleasure, really, the combination of the sound and the image and those boys and New York. And that is really something that I think I wanted in the film.
Absolutely, I thought those shots were really poetic, and it was absolutely stunning. Well, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Yeah.
We're really looking forward to opening Little Men, and come back soon, please. Look forward to having you.
Thanks for talking.
You have been listening to the Picture House Podcast, a Picture House's production brought to you by Picture House Cinemas. We would like to thank everyone who works at Picture House Cinemas and everyone who has ever attended a screening of a film at a Picture House cinema. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.